Good morning and welcome to Faith Baptist Church. Let's stand together. David said, I was glad when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord. If you're glad today, would you just give the Lord some praise? Amen. Amen. Would you bow with me as we get ready to worship this morning? Do you know why we're glad? Because we have something that we can sing about. We have something that we can praise Him for. We are here today to worship Almighty God. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, this morning we're grateful today that we can come together. We can worship You. And as David said, I was glad. Lord, I pray today that You would help us to worship You in spirit and in truth. Let there be a joy in our heart. For each one who is here, for each one who is finding themselves in a struggle, in a difficult, Lord, in a difficult place, for those who are here and maybe life's been sweet and this week's been good. Lord, we're all here coming from, Lord, different seasons, different walks, different struggles, different trials. But Lord, ultimately, we're here today to praise and honor and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that is You, Jehovah. And so, Father God, today, would You speak to us? Would You work in us? Would You change us? Would You be lifted high and magnified in this place as we worship You together? May it be a sweet sound in Your ear. And may we today, as Your people, as we come together, Lord, may we leave this place differently than the way we entered. For it's in Christ's name we pray. And together the church said, amen.
Amen. Let's sing together, as Pastor Todd just said, sing to the King.
Jesus is King.
going to continue singing to our King and about our King. All hail the power of Jesus' name. All hail the power of Jesus' name. That angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall, and we'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all.
And all God's people said, amen. Master Todd.
Amen. You may be seated. Father, we come to you right now as we prepare to receive our offering this morning. We know that as we continue on in this time of worship, that offering is, Lord, an act of worship as we give to you. And so, Heavenly Father, help us now to be gracious and to be grateful. And Lord, as we give, help us to be generous. Thank you, Lord. When we look at our life, when we look at the blessings you've given us, Lord, we can't help but say we want to give back to you and thank you for what you've given us. And so we praise your name for this time, for it's in Christ's name we pray. And God's people said, amen. Well, let me take a moment and welcome. If you're a guest this morning, we'd like to welcome you, give you a Faith Baptist Church welcome. So let's do that right now. So to our guests, let me just say this to you. We're glad you're here. We know what it's like coming to a church for the first time. How many of you remember your first Sunday at Faith Baptist Church? Can I see your hands? And didn't you see some weird people, including the pastor, right? And the people behind me? Yeah. You guys didn't laugh at that. I guess I'm just the weird one, right? So if you're a guest, we realize you're new here. We want to invite you to take a few minutes, familiarize yourself with our worship guide. In the seat pocket in front of you, there is a connection card. We want to invite you to fill that out. And as you leave today, stop by our connection point located in the foyer. There's a free gift waiting for you. It's our way of saying thank you for coming. And we hope you'll come back and worship with us again very soon. Speaking of connecting, today, after the 11 o'clock service, we are having what we call here a connection class. This is for those of you that are interested in membership, those of you that have questions about the church. Maybe you've been coming for a while or you're thinking, wow, I really would like to hang my heart here. I want faith to be my home. This is your class. Come to this. We're serving lunch. We have childcare. The pastoral staff will be there. We're looking forward to meeting with you, connecting with you, hopefully answering your questions. Coming to the class does not commit you to membership, but it is the first and necessary thing you do need to do. So if you haven't been to a connection class, please do so this afternoon. Join us for lunch. We'd love to meet you and see you there. And then tonight, how many of you are ready for Vacation Bible School? Amen? You are almost as lively as the 8 o'clock crowd. Almost. You're getting there. You're getting there. And so tonight is what we're calling a recruitment service. If you're in VBS, tonight is your enlistment day, all right? You are coming to enlist. If you are serving in VBS or you're interested in serving, we would love for you to come. Tonight's service will be completely different. It will not be a normal worship service at all. It'll be all things VBS, and wait till you see what Pastor Mike is wearing. Don't miss out, all right? So if you're in VBS, you need to be here. If you just want to come and see what's going on and find out what's happening this summer in our church for Vacation Bible School, come on out. If you just want to make fun of the way Pastor Mike is dressed, you can come out for that too. That'd be fine, all right? So we want you to be here. And then coming up the end of the month, we have a very special night. here in our church called Parent Night. And this will be something very different that we've done. On the 31st, we're having a Fuse and Diffusion and then also an end-of-year Parent Night with our children's ministry. More details coming about that. If you are a parent, you have a young one who is maybe moving up into the children's ministry, or maybe you have one that is graduating and moving into the teen ministry, we'll pray for you, okay? So this is your night. There will not be a normal Bible study Wednesday night as we normally would have. In fact, all the parents, everything's going to be happening here, but you're welcome to come out, see what's going on, see what God is doing here in our church, in our children's ministry, and our youth. We're going to stand together at this time, and we're going to continue worshiping together as a church. We're going to sing this theme song that we've been learning, Christ Exalted Over All. Amen, church?
Built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness.
is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only trust in Jesus' name.
Let's sing that chorus again.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name.
Sing Christ alone.
Christ alone.
Exalt your Son this morning, Jesus Christ. He is the only reason and purpose we are here today. Not just here in this building, but the only reason we can come together with a unified purpose. with an eternal cause, a bond that is far beyond the physical, that's far beyond what we could produce, a bond in Jesus Christ, one with another, that we can together lift up our voice, not just that, but our hearts, that our song wouldn't just be heard, that it'd be seen, and that we together come for this one purpose today, to exalt you. And so today, may the church be challenged to exalt you, but also challenged to do what your word has told us to do. May we be obedient today, hearing and doing. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Please be seated.
You know, it is a joy to be here and worship with you all today. I don't know how you feel about Sundays, but for me, Sunday is the best day of the week, church. Amen? And I love being here with you guys, and I love you for your faithfulness, and love our Lord and Savior, right? And how many of you know we have a great God? Amen? That's the best we got this morning. We have a great God, right? Amen? And you know, God is, how many of you could just honestly say right now, God has really been just too good to you? And really, he has. He's been too good to me. And he's given me so many wonderful things. And one of the wonderful things he's given me, not only my beautiful wife and my family, and but he's brought some wonderful men into my life who have been a source of encouragement, a source of just challenge. And sometimes when you're looking for someone to help you, God will bring the right person into your life. And the person speaking to us this morning, our guest speaker, Pastor Knute Larson, I met him about 2 years ago at the Pastors Conference in Chicago. They used to call it the Moody Pastors Conference. I told a guy one time, he said, "What are you doing in Chicago?" I said, "I'm at a Moody Pastors Conference." He goes, "How's that going?" And you ever been around a Moody pastor? Don't ask my wife that, all right? So and Knute was there, and he was doing some instructional teaching and training, and I went up, and we had a conversation, and the Lord just kind of made some things happen, and he was just so open and honest with me, and I said, "Knute, I really like your help." I found out later, and to God be the glory, Knute has been in full-time ministry, pastoring, coaching, teaching, leading churches for over 50 years. And in a day and age when pastors seem to be falling by the wayside, left, right, and center, we're going to be encouraged this morning by a man who has stayed true to the Lord and who has loved him and loved his church. Knute has authored 3 books. He's an adjunct professor at several different colleges. I could give him a lot of accolades, but the truth is this. Knute is my friend. He is a coach. He is a mentor, not just to me, but to many other pastors. We had a wonderful time yesterday at our church with our staff training and the seminar we did. Had an awesome first service at 8 o'clock. It was just a sweet time, full in there. God is growing that first service, and we're excited about that. But I'm excited for you guys to get to meet Knute and to hear what God has put on his heart this morning. So I'd love for you to help me make him welcome as he comes to the platform.
Get that clicker. Thank you, Todd. I asked him to go get me lunch because I speak a long time. No, I don't know what I did with the clicker for the... But great to be here. Nice to be here. We have been connected for almost 2 years, and I love Todd and love his love for the church as well as first his family, but you guys, and it's a good thing, and I've met others, all your other staff, and I'm so grateful. Yeah, I've been in either a pastor now the last 8 years as a church coach. I started when I was 50, so I'm 103, and it's been a good thing. I'm grateful, and I want to talk about today from Philippians chapter 1 about the church, because that's in some ways the scripture is all I know in terms of what we should do. And I want to look at Philippians chapter 1. You do have an outline in front of you that's on the handout, and it's going to help you know. Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you. It's my fault. And I left it upstairs, but thank you for coming forward. Why have you come forward? Anyway, Paul's writing from prison, and it's Philippians chapter 1, and I'm going to start at verse chapter 1 and verse 1, Philippians. And it's Paul writing from prison, and he doesn't say, "You guys should see where I am. You should see what's going on in Washington, D.C. You should know what's happening in the Middle East or this North Korea." No, he starts off Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, that's you if you're a believer, who are at Philippi with the overseers, pastors, and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When you read the Bible, you always want to think, now, the then. When was this written? What were the circumstances of Psalm 23, for instance? The Lord is my shepherd. In this case, he's sitting in a prison, probably shackled, has chains. Kids, he's got a chain from his ankles to a guard, probably. But he's writing a letter, and he doesn't say, you should see where I am. Guys, it's rough in here. He says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the church who are at Philippi, all the church that's at Port Richey, including your pastors and deacons and all of us together in Christ. And then he says what he hopes for them. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? He wants us to understand what really matters in life. Grace from God and from our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he starts giving instructions for the church, and they're so strong for us. Philippi, in we're talking Greece, and we're talking the whole issue of, when I do that, we're going to go. We're talking a city that has a seaport that has all kinds of sins in it and all kinds of wrong. And Paul has been to Philippi. If you know the book of Acts, some of you do. In Acts chapter 16, he goes there. They put him in jail for preaching the gospel of Christ. They called them atheists in those days because they wouldn't accept the gods of Rome and of Greece. So Paul went to jail. It's there that he gave that famous word, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. When the Philippine jailer said, what must I do to be saved? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Philippian jailer said that just because there was an earthquake and Paul was walking out of the jail. Goodbye. God brought the earthquake and clearly was showing his power. And this man said, what must I do? Not just to keep my job. What must I do to have eternal life? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So with that background, he's writing back to the Philippians, and he doesn't say, you should see where I am. You, kids, you should see how it's going at grade school or junior high especially. No, he says, grace to you. And then look at verse 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. He says, your partnership in the gospel. We are partners together in the gospel. I know what church can be like. I have done it a long time. And church can be in our heads, even for me, if I'm not careful. Well, I hope the church does well. I hope you guys do well this week, or you come to church and see how the pastor does. And by the way, when the pastor, at least in the message, isn't doing well, I've had many bad sermons. And when you have to do it three times, I did even more than that for a long time, it's really terrible when you're doing it and it's bad. And you think, they get to go home. I've got to do this again. I know Todd's never had that experience, but I have. The one time I preached a sermon of his, and I thought, this is bad. No, that's not true. This is the Word of God, your partnership in the gospel from the first. Church is so huge to Paul. He knows what it's about. And so I want to just say at the top of your outline this point, honor the Lord. And because we are partners in the gospel with God, with Paul, and with each other. Now look how that plays out. Verse 3, I thank my God, verse 5, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. It's not people honoring the pastor. It's not the church honoring its leaders. It's we're partners together with God from the first day until now. Partners. God made the world on his own. He can do anything on his own. If he says it, it is so. When he said, let there be light, there was light. Not because a committee was put together or angels rushed in to invent light. He says it, it is so. And by the way, when he split the Red Sea, he said it, it was so. And when God says you're forgiven through Jesus Christ, it is so, whether you feel it or not. Now, that's the issue. We're partners, though, with this God, and he works with us. He helps us. We're partners with God. Now, that's implied here, but the gospel is God's. The church is God's idea. The children of Israel in the Old Testament were God's. He calls them through a feeble man, Abraham, and his wife, and he makes a great nation. It's all God's, but we're partners with God. Later in Philippians chapter 2, he's going to say to the church, which was having a few problems, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians 2:12. For it is God who works in you, both to will and do of his good pleasure. You work out. Salvation here means your good health. Work out your good health. Work out your family situation. Work out your marriage, your single life with fear and trembling, because it's serious. For God will work in you. He will work in you. It's a beautiful principle of Scripture. We're partners with God. Whoa. We work together with God, not in creation. He does that. We work together with God in love and in the unity of the church. I think in Philippians chapter 4, it implies that Eodicus and Syntyche, two of the ladies of the church, were fighting, and they needed to work out their unity. My understanding is that Eodicus and Syntyche were fighting over whose name is prettier. I don't know. or whose is harder to spell or pronounce. But whatever, the church always has issues. Work it out. We're partners with God, for it is God who works in you. One of the great ways that's pictured is in the Old Testament. Kids, they were to take the Ark of the Covenant, this huge wooden cabinet which contains the Ten Commandments and the staff of Aaron, and they were to take that across the Jordan River. But the Jordan River, it says in Joshua 3, was at flood season. So how are you going to cross this huge river with a flood and a rapid? Well, God said, put your foot down in the river. And the ark goes first, and then 2 million people followed. Put your foot down in the river. Whoa. And when you do, work out your own salvation. When you do, God will work in you. He'll stop the water. Whoa. If I were the leader of like Moses, I would have said, okay, we'll do it. Let's have Zach and Micah, you go first. Take it down into the water. Or let's have the deacons go first. As soon as they put their foot in the water, God stopped it. As soon as you go and ask forgiveness from somebody, God will work in your heart and in theirs and bring grace. As soon as we seek God's favor for a church and do what's right as people of the church, God will work in us. We're partners with God. It's wonderful. It's huge. We're also partners with Paul. Let's go back to the other one. We're partners with Paul, and he said later, you're the only church that stood with me. It's not like he is this great missionary and leader, but it's not like he stands up here. We're all together in this, and they're partners with Paul. You're partners with your pastors and your leaders. Yes, you are. And we all need to do a teammate. We are teammates together, just as important as each other, as Christ, in Christ. So we're partners in this gospel. Paul later said to them, you're the only church that gave to help me and to help the other church in need. You prayed for me. He says right here, because of your partnership in the gospel. And later, down in verse 7, he said, it's right for me to feel this way about you because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. You guys, you're partners together in this church and with Todd and with your leaders and with all the staff. Don't treat them a different way. Don't look like, well, you walk here and we walk here. We're all partners together and needed with God and with each other. But we're also partners with each other. That means we play together like a team. That means the church understands that everybody's needed to pray. I just urge churches all the time, just pray a sentence for your church every dinner, every time, whether you eat alone or with a family, to pray for the church. What you pray for, you will work for. We're partners together with each other also. In one of the beautiful pictures in 1 Corinthians 12, it says, the church is like a body. The hand doesn't say to the foot, we don't need you. The hand's what everybody sees right away. The ear doesn't hear from the eye, well, you're not quite as involved as I am. No, the body is one. It's all together as one in Christ. A team in football or basketball. I served in Akron for a long time, and we watched LeBron grow up. Do you know the name LeBron here in the South? He's a basketball player. I watched him grow up. I actually taught him everything he knows about basketball. I say, no, LeBron, jump high. Jump, do what I do here. And, no, but the team is together as one. You need five. You need everyone here in this church. Thank you. Keep doing your part. We're teammates together. 1 Corinthians 12. In Akron, our church was right downtown next to the university, and we had a lot of connections in the city. Well, I got to give talks to businesses a number of times. They'd say, be careful about pushing Christ, but I said, well, I have to talk about who he is. Okay, but I often gave a talk called Team for the employees of this company. Different companies. I'd like to give it now. It took 20 minutes. I'm just going to take 90 seconds. But I need your help. Give me a T.
T.
Oh, better than that. Give me a T.
T.
Tie your heart to God's. Whether you're running a machine at Goodyear or doing a part in this church or working as a farmer or a homemaker, tie your heart to God's. We are living and need our God, and through Jesus Christ, we tie our hearts with love and faith. Is that you? Tie your heart to God's. Give me an E.
E.
Embrace a sense of mission. You're not just turning a screw. You're turning a screw that keeps the door on my car that keeps me alive when we go around a curve. You're not just taking a little test. You're disciplining your mind. Embrace a sense of mission. When you cook a meal or change a diaper or sell a house. In the church, we are on a mission, and it's a call to the world. Embrace, don't just hug, embrace a sense of mission. Give me an A.
A.
Allow for differences. A team has to allow for differences. We're all different. There's funny people in this church. I didn't hear that from anyone. I can't tell by looking. I just know it's true. I'm funny sometimes. Allow for differences. When an orchestra plays, the trumpet could take over. The drums could really take over. You're all different, but we blend together with a direction of leadership and of God's word. Allow for differences. In marriage, there's differences. If you're a husband and a wife, you're very different. Women are, we're very different. Women are so much stronger in many ways, men in other ways, but we allow for those differences. My wife, we got married and I realized she squeezed the toothpaste at the wrong end. We went to a counselor. No, we didn't. We each have our own tube. Allow for differences in the church. What do you think? We're all going to agree on everything in the Bible and everything? Come on. Allow for differences. Be a team. Give me an M. Make every effort for excellence. You do your part with joy. If you're a greeter, greet like it's the best thing in the world. If you give a sermon, give it with joy and with the strength of Christ, the very words of God. Make every effort for excellence. If you're just visiting here, and this is a great place to look into who Christ is, or to see if can I begin the Christian life and begin growing. But do it with excellence and keep going. That's the team. We're partners together with God and with each other. That's the point. And when you think about marriage, what part is God's and what part is ours? Not everyone's married and not everyone should be. But when you look back, God didn't say to me, marry Janine. That's my wife, by the way. No, we worked it out. You work out your good health. It took her a long time to see that this was best. And now we look back, then we look back and we see God's shepherding and his grace. Same with the church. You don't just wait for an answer from above. You work out your good health, your partners together. You pray. What part was God's? You look back and you say, oh, I mean, look at this building. Look at God's grace. Look at growth. It's wonderful. What part is yours? What part? No, you don't think about that. We're partners. We thank God for every good gift and keep going. Here's a picture of some runners. They're very good. They didn't get that way by just putting on a uniform and running. They work. They work out their good running with fear and trembling. But God gives them a good body to do that. Our neighbors had flowers in their backyard. Why didn't we have flowers in our yard? Because they planted them and grew them. God grows flowers, but God makes people nice, but he makes the people nice and gives love and works his fruit of the Spirit with people that are committed to do what's right. Is that you? A few years ago, Todd and I were going to go fishing up north, and we used my truck, and we got to the lake, and I said, well, let me go over and get, we needed to sign in, and you take the boat into the lake. And he did. Here we are. You've got to help him get lessons on backing in. We are partners in the gospel, and work God will continue. Look at the context some more. Verse 5. Because of your partnership in the gospel, okay, from the first day until now, and I am sure of this, this is Paul, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Whoa. He who began a good work in you, that's the beginning. He began the work. Whatever else you say, eternal commitment to Jesus Christ and salvation to live in connection with the Lord like this was begun by God. When did he begin that in your life? I'll tell you when he began it. Before the creation of the world, God chose people to be his. Whoa. I don't understand that. Ephesians 1 says it. He began it when Jesus died with all your sins on his back and rose again to show that it worked and to be triumphant over life and death and sin and hell. He began it with me when my parents were divorced and my mother worked so hard, and my grandmother, who had a fourth grade education, taught us the Bible all the time. I remember praying with her to put my faith. God began that work. And he who began it in you, maybe yesterday, maybe recently, maybe a long time ago, maybe not yet in terms of your trusting, he who begins that will continue it. That's the issue in our lives from the first day until now. From the first day you put your faith in Christ, he will continue it all our lives. And clearly, daily, every day, he'll work that way. Can you believe that? We shouldn't sit here and argue about, eternal security, or if God's at work in the strange happenings around the world and in our own government, we must say, I trust him about the issues that are eternal, and that he'll be Lord of the world someday, and that forever and ever he will keep working in my life. You can be sure of that. A church can say, look what God's done for us and brought us to this place, and he who began that work will continue it. But we keep working together as partners until that day. What's that day of Jesus Christ? Martin Luther, a great founder of the Reformation, along with some others, said, we only have 2 days, today and that day. Nobody here is sure of Monday, tomorrow. Really. Come on, even if you're 18. We only have today, and we know we have that day. Kids, in the Bible, that day is the day we stand in front of Jesus Christ. The day that he judges the world, brings it to an end and a beginning in him. We have that day when we'll give account. And Luther was saying, live today as if there is that day. In the Bible, it says, on that day, we'll all give account of what we've done in this world. Whoa. On that day, the world will be judged, 2 Thessalonians 1, with fire. Whoa. We have that day, and we should live today and in between, honoring him. He'll keep it going for you. Will you do that? Be ready for that day by just obeying him a day at a time. In the Bible, that day, look it up sometime in your concordance or computer, that day, it's the day when Christ comes back to the world and judges. And all who are in Christ, who trust him and embrace him as Savior, if God says to me, why should I let you go to heaven? Why should I let you in? I'll point to the cross and to Jesus. I'm with him. That's all we have to say. So we have today and that day. Tonight, I'm sure when I get home late this evening, my wife will have Cleveland Cavaliers on. I hope they beat Boston again. I'm sorry if you're from Boston. But I think I mentioned I taught LeBron how to play. It narrows down to 4 teams right now, and soon to 2, and then to 1. The world will narrow down, and soon there won't be the emperor, whatever his name, in North Korea. And there won't be our president. There won't be any countries. There'll be one, Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so he's saying, God will begin the work. He did begin the work in many of you, and he'll continue it until that day when we stand in front of Christ. Are you looking forward to that day? I used to get Marathon Magazine. Never ran marathons, but ran a lot, and then jogged a lot, and now I slog a lot. But in the Marathon Magazine one time, it took a survey of all these runners, and the 3 main reasons that they finished the marathon are so parallel to the church. The 3 reasons that were highest, 1, water. That people give us water, and you can make the 26 miles and a number of yards because you have water. 2, the encouragement of others. People say, come on, when you're standing watching runners, tell them you can do it. I was running a race once and losing everything, and some man came by me, and I said, go on, it's all yours, and I'm going to drop out. It had been the first race I quit. I wasn't running that fast. He said, come on, run with me. We're going up a hill, and he said, lean over, take shorter steps. So I did. I leaned over and took shorter steps, and we made the last 3 miles together. I turned to him once and said, tell me I can do it. He said, you can do it. I said, you're just saying that. We made it to the end of the race, and I shook his hand, and he left. Everybody had already gone home, but we finished strong. In a way, we're called to finish the race to that day. And Christ would say to us in other words in the Bible, lean over. Don't be a big deal. Humble yourself. Take shorter steps. Just go a day at a time. And he who began this good work in you will finish it, complete it, the day of completion. And it all starts with the cross, you guys. It doesn't start when you go to VBS. You might learn about this there. Many people do. Great. Jesus on the cross took all the sins of all the world on his back. Theology 101, Jesus died for our sins, the judgment for us. When Adam and Eve's sins were put on him, and mine and yours and all of us, he cried out, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" He was separated from the Father for the first time in eternity, because our sins were being judged. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, his death counts for ours. His punishment counts for our punishment for sins. He's our substitute. When you put your faith in him, he covers you with his righteousness. We sang that in that gorgeous song, The Cornerstone, his righteousness, my only plea. It covers us. You have to be perfect to go to heaven, and perfect is a gift through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And you put your faith in him, his righteousness covers you, his judgment counts for you, and then you're to live in combination with Christ. Will you keep doing that? Or will you start today? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just believe the facts. I believe there's a Donald Trump. I believe there's a... No. The demons would say, here's a true and false question for demons. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, that he was here on earth? Yes, true. He's the Son of God. True. He died on the cross for the sins of the world. True. He rose from the dead. Yep, I saw it. He's my Lord. No, they drop out there. It's not just believing the facts, it's trusting him as Savior and Lord. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust him. That's when it begins, and he'll continue that work the rest of our lives. And you serve him in VBS, in the church, in the neighborhood, just with people, because you love him. You wash feet, you care, you live for his glory. Paul doesn't stop here. At the end of this, he gives a reason to keep going. That's Roger Clemens. That's baseball. Not as important as basketball, but it's a great sport. Roger Clemens recently told this story. He's no longer a pitcher, but he was a fabulous major league pitcher. But his first time in an all-star game, he gets up to bat. It was a National League ballpark, and you may know that in the National League, the pitchers have to bat. In the American League, they watch a designated hitter bat for them. So he didn't bat well. He was American League, but he's playing in a national park for the All-Star game. Dwight Gooden, who's an amazing pitcher, also was pitching. And Roger Clemens writes in his memoir that the first pitch came in so fast, he swung and missed it by a mile. The second pitch, I forget if he swung the bat or it went right over the middle and it was so fast. And he turned to the pitcher, Joe Carter, and said, "Are my pitches that fast?" And Carter said, "Yeah, faster, same thing." Clemens said from that day on, he realized as a pitcher, he had more confidence because he realized how overwhelming it was. We should look back and see what God has done in the world and with Israel and with our local church and see our confidence grow. He'll continue this work for us for the rest of life. And the issue for all of us is to keep going. Paul gets real clear about how to keep going, too, in the sense of what our lives should look like. Verse 7, "It is right for me to feel this way about you, that God will continue the work about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and the defense and confirmation of the gospel." I should feel this way. We're partners. I love you. That's what he says. Verse 8, "For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment. Paul says, I love you. As leaders of the church, we love the church. We love the people. As family members or singles to parents and even good friends, we should say more often, I love you. Paul says, I love you. He told the Thessalonians, I think of you all the time. I treated you like a father and like a mother with tender care and with special grace. There's a love that Paul had for these people and a pastor has for people in the church and the leaders have and all of us for each other. And so he says, I pray that your love would abound more and more. Love is not syrupy. It's not a feeling alone. It's a commitment to do what's good for others. I like to call it love is righteous action for the good of the other person. You don't always feel love. You do it. You show it. Jesus loved the world. He didn't say, look at those people. They are so nice. He did what was best for us. And that's what we do in the church. Love each other. Keep going. It's crazy what churches do for each other, do to each other, people in the church, all based on love. If you read 1 Corinthians 13, I bet half of you that are married had it read at your wedding. 1 Corinthians 13 is full of action. Love forgives. Love does not hold grievance. Love is kind. There's not emotion. Emotion's great, but it's love is action to meet the needs of another. Paul said, I love you. Love each other. I pray your love will abound more and more. Will you keep going? I do coach churches now, and I often lean into church people when I'm there. With a board the other day in Illinois, I said, why are you treating each other like this? Love each other. Learn to work together and grow together. And Paul adds to this huge phrase. I'll just mention them in verse 9. It's my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and that you may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Whoa! If you love each other, you approve what is excellent. You live in combination with Jesus Christ and His Spirit, and you approve what is excellent. You don't approve of gossip. You don't approve of divisiveness. You keep it going. And why? He says in verse 11, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. Righteousness is love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You'll be filled with that when you love God and love each other. Keep going. And the church, above all groups, should model that for each other and for the world to see. Jesus said, you'll know they're Christians by their love. And Paul said, love each other and continue and choose what's right till the end of time. And he closes with this part, with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God, that God may be glorified. If you're Presbyterian, you know the great word in the Westminster Confession, the chief end of man is to enjoy and glorify God forever and ever. That's exactly right. We were made for the glory of God. When you see a giraffe, it was made for the glory of God and made for, we'd say, whoa, look at that. When you see a sunset, it's for the glory of God. The universe is 93 billion light years from one side to the other, the Hubble telescope people tell us. 93 billion years of traveling at 186,000 miles per second. For 93 billion light years, and you get to the other side of the universe. Why did he do all that? So we'd go, oh, and glorify him and worship him. Clearly, we were made for the glory of God. And while giraffes don't look up and dogs, even your good dog, doesn't look up and say to God, I love you, people do. We were made to glorify God in the sense of saying, I honor you. I trust your Son. I want to live for your pleasure. And when the church is the church, it operates connected with Christ and with each other, and God is glorified. People say they love each other, but God says, those are my people, and he is pleased by our worship and our glory to him. That's why we were made. That's why we were brought together in the church. Is that you? One time when Job was trying to figure out why it was happened, approving what is excellent, filled with righteousness for the glory of God, Job wasn't feeling like that, and he started believing his three friends who tried to explain evil. Don't try to explain pain. Just help people and walk with them through it. And God took him out, I think, on a starry night and said, Job, I want to talk to you. And you have three chapters of God at his sarcastic best when he says, Job, you're believing these theories about evil and pain and why things happen. How do you know all that? Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Job, do you know where I store the lightning bolts that came out last night? Job, are you listening? Were you there when I made the horse with its muscles and its flowing mane that runs so well? Job, are you listening? Do you know how I made the crocodile? He goes through three chapters. And Job is standing there going, no. And in the last chapter, he falls down on his face. Job says, I have spoken of things too wonderful for me. Things way beyond me. And he says, I worship. For the glory of God, we were made. The church is a beautiful picture, the bride of Christ, made for the glory of God. And we can't explain all that happens. And evil and pain are so prevalent, and even our country rocking with bad ideas and theories. But we are called to live for the glory of God. And at the end of time, he will be glorified as the one King, the Lord Jesus Christ, and every knee will bow, and everyone confess that he is Lord. Now be in on that, and keep being a part of his church that trusts him, and God will continue to work in you. He'll work in faith. He'll work in churches all over the world. We're glad. And at the end, when we see Christ, we will melt, we will worship, we will know he is Lord, he is Lord. In the meantime, follow him, trust him. Thanks. Let's pray. God, thank you for Jesus Christ, Lord of